welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Yes, brought to you by eejournal.com, and I'm Amelia Dalton. I hope you've got your coffee or caffeinated beverage of choice in hand, because we're getting started in a flash. That's right, we're digging into everyone's favorite non-volatile memory technology, flash. And not just any old kind of flash. Oh no, we're checking out 3D flash with Scott Nelson of Toshiba. Toshiba is bringing a whole new kind of 3D flash memory called Bix to our fish frying table, and it's gonna be good. Check it out. Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
So we're here to talk about flash memory today. So first off, tell me a little bit about Toshiba's background in flash memory.
Okay, well, Toshiba's background is quite extensive. As most people may know, Toshiba actually invented flash memory. Back in 1984, we first announced NorFlash, which is a lower density storage solution, and it's primarily used for code storage. And then later in 1987, we announced NAND flash, and that is a higher density, lower cost solution, and that's used primarily for file storage. And we see NAND today is really being an enabler of mobility of content, so it's heavily used in mobile phones and in solid state drives, so forth. Toshiba, you know, we're the most experienced NAND flash supplier in the market. We offer both the MLC and TLC technology, and we also offer different grades of NAND because there's different market needs for the storage. So if you fast forward today, Toshiba, you know, we remain the leader in NAND floating gate technology, and we expect that that's going to continue as we'll lead the market into the migration of the high-density BiCS 3D. That's not to say that the floating gate technology will go away. Actually, it's going to continue in parallel with 3D NAND because it's going to support the lower density requirements in the market that would be 16 gigabytes and less, where the BiCS 3D carries on the die density, higher die density of 32 gigabytes and above.
Okay, so tell me more about this 3D flash memory and the details of this BiCS flash.
Okay, well, actually, in early 2000s, Toshiba invented the BiCS 3D technology. We actually presented it at the 2007, I think it was, VLSI Symposium. We presented our BiCS technology. But let me start by sharing Toshiba's floating gate to our BiCS 3D migration strategy. Back in 2013, early 2014, we said that, you know, our strategy needs to be extending our floating gate roadmap because we understood the complexity of the 3D technology and the time that it would take to bring a competitive BiCS 3D solution to market. So we extended our floating gate roadmap. We introduced 15 nanometer to give us time to develop a competitive BiCS 3D to enable a smooth market migration into the 3D technology. But as I mentioned earlier, the floating gate is going to continue in parallel. However, as we see in the industry, there's a need for higher density. There's just an exponential growth of data storage requirements, and that's where the 3D technology is going to be strategic to the market. From Toshiba's perspective, as we made the strategic decision to extend our floating gate to allow time to develop our 3D technology, it was important for us to look at it from a time-to-market acceptance so that we could bring a competitive high-density 3D solution so that we could carry on a traditional cost curve compared to being quick to market and having a non-competitive technology compared with floating gate. So really the question is, we fast forward 2 years now in 2015, entering into 2016, how did the Toshiba strategy to extend our floating gate one more generation play out to our competition? And there's a few points that I'd like to mention here that's significant. First is we have the world's smallest floating gate 15 nanometer 128 gigabit die. And the significance here is it offers our customers the most cost-effective floating gate solution. And this is important because, as I talked earlier, the lower density storage is going to continue, and floating gate is going to support that lower density storage requirements. Some of those applications that will use the floating gate at 16 gigabytes or less are applications like gaming, set-top box, printers, Internet of Things, stuff like that. So while competition has introduced 24, 32, 36 layer 3D solutions to the market, it's generally understood that it's not cost effective to floating gate until 48 layers. So here we are, and this year we made two significant industry announcements specific to the BiCS 3D. The first was March 26th when we announced the world's first 48 layer 3D NAND flash product. Followed in August 4th, we announced the world's first 48-layer 256 gigabit TLC 3D NAND flash product. So the significance of these Toshiba firsts in the industry is a cost-competitive 48-layer 3D solution that is going to drive the migration into the high-density 3D from floating gate.
Okay, so circling back to BiCS Flash, what kind of applications is BiCS Flash especially suited for?
Well, BiCS being a high-density storage solution, the initial applications where it's really going to excel is going to be high-density SSD. Those applications are going to be hyperscale and cloud-type applications. The other point that's important here is that it's always good bringing a product to market that solves a problem. And some of the biggest issues for data centers is power, heat, density per square foot of a data center, and so forth. And that's where 3D technology really offers some key benefits as a solution to these challenges that the data centers face, because 3D technology compared to floating gate consumes less power and it increases power efficiency. And then it also offers a higher density using the same footprint as a floating gate. So those are some key benefits that it brings to the data center where we see this high density technology is going to be initially deployed. And then over time, as other application density requirements do increase, 3D will be used in those applications as well.
So what do you think is driving the need for higher and higher density storage solutions?
Okay, so that's a good question. If you look at all of the social media around us, Internet of Things, Twitter, Snapchat, pictures, there's just an exponential growth of data that's being created. And the studies that we've seen by the industry analysts are suggesting that this digital universe out there of data created is growing from 4.4 zettabytes in 2013, and it's estimated to reach 44 zettabytes by 2020. So to store all of this data that's being created, it's going to be predominantly on hard disk drives and solid-state drives. The hard disk drive, of course, to support the sheer volume of the data, and then the SSD to support the growing need for velocity, the fast access to this data. So this is the value proposition of Toshiba to our customers. We carry the full storage portfolio. We're vertically integrated, especially for the SSD. We offer the hard disk drive to the SSD to NAND technology.
So from your point of view, what does the future of memory look like?
Well, based on what we just talked about, the forecasted exponential growth of data in this digital universe, definitely a good challenge to have. Even better is having a solution that solves an industry problem that's really tasked with tackling this growth of data in this digital universe. So, of course, there's going to be challenges along the way. However, from my point of view, the future of memory looks very bright for NAND, for the 3D NAND, and, of course, SSD and hard disk drive. So Toshiba's leadership in the NAND technology, it'll continue as we move the industry towards the next generation of 3D technology. We offer the world's smallest 15-nanometer floating gate 128 gigabit die. the world's first 48-layer 3D NAND. Add to that with our lineup of hard disk drive and solid-state drives, Toshiba has the broadest storage portfolio in the industry. So I think, again, the future looks very bright, and Toshiba is well positioned to support this industry growth.
Excellent. So it's time for your off-the-cuff question, Scott. Now, I know you like to ride dirt bikes and off-road vehicles in the desert in your free time. So where's the coolest place that you've ever gone dirt bike riding?
I would say that the coolest place we go dirt bike riding is a place called Randsburg, which is up to 395, probably halfway between Southern California and Mammoth. But the reason why it's most fun is Randsburg is a ghost town. It's a living ghost town, actually, is what they call it. So it's always fun to go up there and camp and then ride into the Randsburg area and have lunch and ride back.
That sounds super cool. Well, Scott, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for the time.
Now, folks, here on Fish Fry, we've talked about 3D printing technology for, almost 5 years now. From chocolate to pancake batter to plastic. Yawn. 3D printing is fast making a place for itself in almost every segment of our society these days, not to mention various technology sectors. But what each of these types of 3D printing material doesn't have is strength. Ever try to make a bumper out of chocolate? Yeah, doesn't work so well. But a team at Northwestern University has developed a brand new way to create metal-based 3D printed material, which uses metallic powders to create 3D structures. And get this, should be cheaper, faster, more uniform, and work with a bunch of different metals, alloys, and compounds. So, metal-based 3D printing has been around for some time. But until now, it involved lasers. Yeah, that's cheap. Or electron beams. Equally inexpensive. This new technique, developed by this team at Northwestern University, actually uses liquid ink from metal powders, solvents, and an elastomer binder that is then printed through a nozzle, the same way that plastic-based 3D printers function today. But it's the next step that sets these metallic 3D printed structures away from their previous, more expensive counterparts. These 3D printed structures are then sintered, where they are heated in a simple furnace which allows the powders to merge without melting. The final product is bendable, foldable, and can be hundreds of layers thick without crumbling. And even better, this process can be cheaper, safer, and more stable than pure metal powders. The end products for this type of 3D printing, as you can imagine, are pretty amazing. Need a new bumper or fuel cell for your electric car? No prob. Just print one. If you want to check out more information about this new metallic advance in 3D printing, I've included a link to a research paper published in the Journal of Advanced Functional Materials called Metallic Architectures from 3D Printed Powder-Based Liquid Inks. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can also monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to that EEJournal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 15th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.